This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Dynamic Hour 2 on Fridays, and I'm glad you're back, Harley. One of the best messages I saw this week made me laugh so hard was the Gridiron Club comments by Donald Trump. This guy is a comedian par excellence. He's able to self-deprecate. And then the disappearance now of Gary Cohn and his comment, he says, you're a good guy, but you're a globalist. Go make billions and maybe you can come back. I mean, he's so funny. And the thing is, he's so relaxed about not giving a royal flying crap about what people think about him. He's going to meet with Kim Jong-un, and I'm sure he's going to make a deal that Kim Jong-un can't refuse. He's also going to put the thumb screws on Russia and China and these banks and everybody else. They're supplying with material. And we don't need to go to a nuclear option or, you know, having mass and these guys strike him with nuclear weapons and destroy a lot of innocent people. No, if he does things correctly, which is really apply hard thumb screws and work out a deal with Kim, including the idea of a post-war crimes tribunal that doesn't prosecute him or his generals for murder or other things so they can actually escape the guillotine, or if you want to call it the firing squad, I think Trump can work out a deal. I really do. I hear comments like I have Joel Skousen's paper that he put out this week says, I've never seen a communist government give up their weapons. They've never dealt with somebody like Donald Trump. They're going to give up the damn weapons because if they don't, Trump and his generals will strike the hell out of them, even if it causes a lot of massive death. And people need to know we can't tolerate a country that'll proliferate to Iran and Venezuela and other countries and Brazil nuclear weapons. So I think Trump's on it, and I think he's actually going to get a deal, don't you?
Well, yes, but I disagree with a couple of your premises, Bill, because I think that Trump got this deal for two reasons. One is that he was tough with North Korea.
I agree.
The other thing was he got the Chinese and the Russians to join him in that. And this line that's going around that China and Russia are really undermining Trump on North Korea is a bunch of garbage coming from geopoliticians who want Trump to go to war with China and Russia.
No, here's the point, and I'll just divide this a little bit. It's a little twist on it. China's not one big megalithic organism. It's multi-tracking. There's guys inside the PLA, or even bankers and so on, inside China, and others probably outside. They're supplying with material, banking, and other things that we know are violating our banking laws and even what they've already decided at the UN. Xi is on side with Trump, but there's other people you need to corral in. So it's not one big thing. It's just like the same thing with Russia. Russia's buddy, Putin's buddy, decided to pay $2 million for social media. All it did was kind of polarize the country. Didn't do anything to change the election. But yet, this anemic response, the Congress did something stupid and tried to put further sanctions on Russia, which is the wrong thing to do, rather than just giving them, I call bitch slap them, to say, don't do this anymore in 2018 or 2020. And guess what? I think we could accomplish it without going to war. And the same way you've already suggested, but I really think we have to multi-track it. There are bad elements in China and Russia that have been giving material and technology to North Korea. And that can be dealt with very simply by squeezing down the thumb screws on the banks and individuals that we're doing. We just haven't done it all yet.
That was several years ago. Let me tell you that I've just had briefings in the last couple of days from top people on the inside. And they're saying that Trump is delighted with the collaboration with China, that he's extremely
Let me
finish the point. He's very pleased with his continuing relationship with Putin, and he's actually excited that Putin gave this speech about Russia developing new weapon technologies, because Trump sees that as going, that the Russians now want to go with an SDI. The message the American media is having is the Russians are preparing for war, and that's why they have new weapons. What Putin said at the end of his speech is, we've been telling you this for a while, you haven't been listening, now that we've shown you what we have, maybe you'll listen so we can sit down and talk about mutual collaboration on the anti-missile defense system. Here's what's important about that. And I talked to Lyndon LaRouche today, who was one
That's an interesting spin on it. That's very interesting.
Well, I don't think it's a spin. Here's what Lynn said. Remember, Lynn was the guy tasked by Ronald Reagan to work with the Russians on the original SDI. And we're coming up on the 35th anniversary of Reagan's speech on March 23, 1983, which shocked the nation, which caused Republicans and Democrats to go crazy against Reagan, and led to an alliance between Kissinger and Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the Democrat, to shut down LaRouche. And that's when Robert Mueller was brought in on the Get LaRouche Task Force. Now, what Lynn said about what Putin did is that the change between the 80s and today is that while Reagan was prepared to do that kind of cooperation, the Soviets weren't. And Dropov, Gorbachev rejected it. Now, here's Putin coming forward with almost the exact policy that Reagan was offering in 1983. And Lynn said he thinks Trump gets it. He's a little concerned about the deep state and the military and others. But let me go to the other point on Trump when we're talking about Trump with Russia and China. What Trump said he's most worried about is the rogue elements working in the United States. And he thinks there are rogue elements, including in the CIA, who have been working to provide funding to North Korea, the same ones who are working to provide arms to Al-Qaeda and ISIS. And what I was told is that one of the reasons Trump may move McMaster is that McMaster's covering up for these operations.
Of course he is. McMaster is another one that needs to get his walking papers, isn't he? He's another idiot. When he was in Munich, his operational statements against Russia were disgusting. Against Trump's policy, isn't it?
Yeah. So what Trump is now prepared to do is clean house. And with Cohn out, with some of these others going, the word going around is that Trump is not interested in playing nice anymore with the establishment. We saw that with, you know, his rejection of Cohn. Cohn kept saying to him, don't put up tariffs. We have to stick with free trade.
That's ridiculous.
You know, the tariffs that he proposed are really kind of minimal, except for one thing. They raised the red flag, which is if you're going to try and use free trade to screw the United States, we're no longer going along with that.
Right.
And Trump's point is he doesn't blame China. He doesn't blame India. He doesn't blame these other countries. He blames Obama and Bush and the free traders.
Yeah, and right back to Bill Clinton and before. Exactly. Don't blame them. They were just good negotiators. We were been idiots there, right?
Now, two other points that Trump made in the last days which are important. One is he brought up the Iraq war again. And he said Bush was a real genius, wasn't he?
Yeah, right.
He said that the Iraq war was the most destructive war we've ever had, and it keeps going on, and we've got to figure out how to stop it. And then he said Bush was followed by another real genius. Look what Obama did. He cooperated with the rogue intelligence operatives to try and overthrow a president. And he said, you don't do that. Now, what Trump is doing is once again identifying the Bush, Clinton, Obama line as a war party and a bailout party, as a party that's destroying the American economy. And I sent you an article I just wrote on the importance of getting Cohn out of there. The other two things Cohn has done, which has undermined Trump, is he sabotaged Glass-Steagall by telling Trump, if you go with Glass-Steagall, it will hurt the banks, it will stop the stock market boom. And Trump is now saying he's got to relook at Glass-Steagall. Secondly, Cohn screwed up the infrastructure bill. Mm-hmm. Trump wanted $1 to $1.5 trillion from federal government funds to go into infrastructure. Cohn limited it to $200 billion, but that's right. over 10 years. And most of the funding is supposed to come from state and local governments, which are broke. And then the private-public partnerships, which won't build anything that's new. So what my source said is that Trump now is going to work on his own at the back of the 2016 campaign.
Yeah, I know. That's a much smarter move, isn't it? In other words, he's not playing ball or playing footsie with the New World Order and globalists, even the ones surrounding him. He's cutting them out, pushing them out, and taking over, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. Good for LaRouche, too, and for the agenda that's been brewing for decades.
Hear that? Effective.
All shoppers, let's hear the truth. And by the way, I posted up today over at Clay and Iron my documents I got going back to 1998 from a Finnish munitions expert that actually showed that the intel agency, you got to remember what was happening. Marvin Bush was the security officer of the 9/11 complex, the brother of George Bush, when 9/11 happened, the first of his first years of his term. And 9/11 was a controlled demolition with nukes and RDX, and I actually have the actual documents of the Port Authority 1998 offer by a Finnish munitions expert to demolish them with the Port Authority and Silverstein. Those documents are actually posted up. And if you want the PDF original documents, I'll send those to you too, but you'll see them over at Clay and Iron. What people need to understand, the deep state, which is primarily the British, projected through the United Nations, the Federal Reserve and other banks, and these intel agencies like Five Eyes, this is why we had Christopher Steele, because they literally spy on each other, like the British spying on us and vice versa. This is standard operating procedure because they don't want to violate national law, so they violate it by just working around the side of it. So this guy Steele, well, you tell us, you had something on the break you mentioned. Steele was working on this stuff to attack Russia, and they accomplished it. They actually managed to get the Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, to get off the Trump train and attack Russia and put more sanctions on rather than trying to work things out. And so they're trying to make sure that the Congress is not on the same train to negotiate something to reindustrialize Russia and step back from war. And I think what Trump, what Putin is saying when he talks about these advanced weapons is say, let's make a deal, Trump. Let's industrialize Russia. Let's expand their biotech and their other industries and their high tech. Let's have an economy so we're Russian girls aren't selling themselves online to be Russian brides. Why don't we have an economy? And again, this also ties into having universal missile defense systems like LaRouche talked about 35 years ago, which got him into jail when the damn Democrats got in office because the globalists didn't want to see a universal missile defense system. And I know from the proliferation of nuclear weapons, Russia, China, and other nations would surely welcome this because everybody in there would. And their idiot is going to have some way of even having a drone delivery system, and we have to stop that. So nobody needs to be fearful of being blown up by a nuclear weapon or delivered of a chemical, biological, or scalar weapon. We have to stop this stuff, right? And LaRouche saw it decades before, so please continue.
Yeah, LaRouche was actually put in jail by the Republicans. It was George Herbert right. Walker Bush
right.
who ran the LaRouche task force through Mueller.
Right. So, and George, of course, Bush was a hillbilly in the Bohemian Grove. These globalists don't care. That's why if they're rhino Republicans like Mick Insane or George Bush Sr., who's another the devil who finished Project Omega, the intel agency oversight conceived by the Nazis in 1930, completed by the CIA and NSA in 1982. People don't know what's really going on here. This is a cabal of evil that thinks itself is the government, and the elected officials are not, are just kind of like play actors. They don't even consider to show respect for the elected officials like Donald Trump and our Congress and Senate.
Well, let me go back to the SDI because there are a few important points you made, but I want to really draw them out.
Right.
LaRouche's initial let me say a few things here. LaRouche's initial proposal, which Reagan liked, was not so much military defense as an overall approach to bringing online new physical principles with applications for the civilian economy as well as military. There were two different ideas floating around. One was associated with General Danny Graham and a number of other military people who said, we can't afford to do the new science, so we need brilliant pebbles, we need anti-missile missiles, kinetic weapons, basically. And LaRouche said that's foolish. We need to work on harnessing electron pulse, beam weapons, laser technologies that can be targeted using satellites in space. And he said, once you get this system so that you don't have a hit or miss, but you actually have an ability to keep clearing out an area in the sky until you hit the missiles or these beams. And what he pointed out is that the added benefit is that we're working with plasma technologies, things that have implications far beyond the military. Now, this is what Reagan liked. Reagan's idea was that the way you change the Soviet Union is to break this mutual and assured destruction attitude and give them a sense that they can be secure and start applying their military technologies and expertise to the civilian economy.
Right.
And so Reagan brought LaRouche in to negotiate with the Russians on this. And what LaRouche was told by leading generals is that they think it's a very sound proposal Reagan is making, but they can't accept it because they're afraid that they can't trust the U.S. and the U.S. would go ahead of them and use it as an offensive system. That is, knowing you could knock out a response from Russia, the U.S. could launch a first strike. And LaRouche said this was the Andropov and Gorbachev reaction. Reagan kept trying to the end of his term in office, and as soon as he was heading out the door, Bush ended the program. Bush had wanted to have nothing to do with it, and Bush made sure that as soon as he came into office, LaRouche was in prison.
You're talking about Bush Senior, not Junior.
Bush Senior, yeah. Now, what's interesting about the whole Putin speech last week is that what Putin did is demonstrate that the Russian military capability has advanced, that they have the science. They have a Mach 20 cruise missile now. They have underwater drones. They have an ability to, with hypersonic weapons, to hit any place in the world. But why are they doing this? Putin said, we want you to respect our capabilities, so we'll sit down and negotiate a deal. And this is what LaRouche called going beyond the SDI to a mutually beneficial economic policy that would benefit both the U.S. and Russia, but spill over to the rest of the world.
Right.
Now, that's what Putin put on the table. Now, here's the other interesting thing about Putin's speech. How is it that our intelligence community was blindsided? And, you know, there's an interesting point here.
But blindsided in what way, though? They all said
Putin's speech was a shock. They didn't know this was coming. Well, that's because they're spending all their time looking for Russian spies in troll farms and under the White House bed. And they're not doing any effective counterintelligence. And this was
they also don't see space stuff. They don't see Putin saying this because he wants to make a deal. He's dealing with a starving country. I heard from very reliable economic sources that Russia's running out of even their slush money, and they're going bankrupt because of all the sanctions and everything else going on in Russia. Even though they're trying to modernize and they're doing internal industry stuff, Russia, just the same way as North Korea, is going bankrupt. And what they need is they need money from China or elsewhere, and they need to expand their business so that – go ahead.
I disagree with that. Look, Russia just had a bumper agricultural crop.
Oh, I agree.
They're selling food all over the world. The Russian economy is pinched, but it's surviving.
Yeah, but still, it's massively hampered by the forces at play from the banks,
the
United States.
The sanctions are punishing them, but they're still
exactly
surviving.
Yeah, but they're very clever. They have good biotech and advanced technology, but they need to have real industry to employ their people. So, yeah, we're starting to see the development of the presidential approach that Trump takes. I think part of his celebrity in all his movies and all his videos he's done and his shows, he wants people to like him even though he wants them to take him seriously. I think he's moving to a different kind of modus of his presidency where he just wants respect. He doesn't want people to like him anymore. He's not willing to compromise his promises, for example, to bring America great again and to bring peace or get a negotiated deal with North Korea. I'm sure he shocked people by saying he's going to sit down with Kim Jong-un. And I mentioned Joel Skousen, who his newsletter tries to say no communist country has ever negotiated. This is a different deal. They're dealing with Trump now. He's going to put the thumbscrews in all the suppliers and material. He's going to work out a deal with Kim Jong-un. And I guarantee you, it can be done. It can be denuclearized. Well, now, people have to know the history. I just want to finish. People know the history that when we had a deal back in the early 1980s with China, part of the thing was to leave this buffer zone of North Korea alone. And now that things are changed and Trump has a great relationship with Xi, and they have it in for denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula, everybody is in a different position now. And Trump is not like any other previous president who was always just kiss butt and try to kind of make things the status quo and say, hey, we could even get used to the idea of North Korea having nukes. No, there's a Walmart of nukes. If they get nukes, they're going to proliferate all over the place. So China has it in for themselves to make sure nukes don't proliferate to all the other countries in Asia even. You know, Vietnam and everybody. Anybody can pick these up if they think there's a real risk, if they have enough money. So I think that Trump is right on, and I think that Xi wants to make a deal, and I'll make a bet. When Trump puts the screws on this Kim Jong-un and gives enough, I call carrots as well as sticks, he's going to work out a deal, isn't he?
Well, I think Trump made a very funny comment at the Gridiron Club where he said, look, I don't rule out direct talks with Kim Jong-un. This is before the developments of this week. And he said, as far as the risk of dealing with a madman is concerned, that's his problem, Kim's problem, not mine. And making the joke that he's the madman, Trump's the madman. Now, that ability to step back from this name-calling that was going on and make a joke about it. Apparently, Kim did the same thing in his talks with the South Koreans. He made a joke about himself being the little rocket man. Now, if you could have that kind of humor and that kind of sense of purpose, because look, what's the bottom line here? Trump, again, as I told you, brought up the destruction caused by George W. Bush with the Iraq War,
right?
And how this was a mad policy. It was insane.
And Colin Powell, who's full of crap, who pushed it forward with all these phony photos of something that was like a food truck and tried to say it was a weapon truck. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that goes on, isn't it?
Where did he get that dossier? That came from Sir Richard Dearlove of MI6 through Tony Blair. Dearlove is the sponsor of Christopher Steele. But here's the other point.
Wonderful, isn't that? Yeah.
Well, look, if people read my articles, they'll see we've got the whole story now. It's all there. And I'll send you the one on Ukraine and Manafort, and you can post that and people can see it. But here's something to think about. What would have happened if George Bush would have met with Saddam Hussein instead of believing the British and going to war with them? Look how many hundreds of thousands of lives would have been spared. Look at the cost that wouldn't have gone into war. Look at the enmity that was created with the Muslim world by what Bush did. Now then, what about this great peace lover, Barack Obama? Suppose he would have met with Assad and said, look, we don't like what you're doing. We'll help you, but you got to cut this out. Instead, look at the 400,000 Syrians dead. You can't blame Assad. He didn't arm the rebels. He didn't arm the terrorists. So you look at these two situations, and the intelligence community that worked with Bush and Obama to go to war has been going to war against Trump.
Right.
And why? Because Trump doesn't want these damn wars. Trump said, let's talk to Kim. We can put pressure on him, but let's talk to him. Let's talk to Putin. I don't know if you saw this, but at Putin's press conference the other day, they said, what do you think of Trump? And he said, I really like the guy. I think he's a pretty interesting character. Now, the potential is there, and this is what Mrs. LaRouche has been saying. We can now move to a new paradigm of mutually beneficial cooperation. This is what Xi Jinping is offering. This is what Putin is talking about. This is ultimately what Trump means when he says, we believe that sovereign nations have a right to act in their own interests, like make America great again. But those interests include peaceful relations with other countries.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think we're now in a potential for a totally new paradigm. Now, people who want to say, well, Stalin was a killer, or this one was bad. Look, you could go through the list of what the CIA has done around the world.
Oh, yeah.
That's all behind us now. Let's move into this new era. Now, in the meantime, to do it, we're going to have to remove a bunch of people who were in positions of influence in the United States, including in the U.S. Senate, people like Schumer, but also people like Paul Ryan. Ryan worked with that Democrat, Gary Cohn, to sabotage Trump's infrastructure program.
Right.
Ryan is trying to stop Trump from breaking with free trade. He was Cohn's closest ally.
Right.
So here you have, again, the Clinton Democratic wing and the neocon Republican wing. What
right.
do they have in common? They're all neoliberals. That is free trade, central bank dominance, speculative economy. That's what Trump doesn't like. And so if people could get it through their heads that the issue is not Democrat versus Republican, it's Wall Street, City of London globalists versus those people who believe in economic and national sovereignty.
Right. And by the way, this also goes beyond left and right, doesn't it? This is
yeah,
a whole point that LaRouche has been talking about. They'll put a little slather of icing on top to make it look left or to make it look right, but it's all globalist, central control by banks and intel agencies. And it's really evil, and they're trying to sell it to everybody, but it just kind of, it's like going to Walmart, and they got a bottle with a different label, but it's the same content, isn't it?
Well, this is the old saying from Watergate, follow the money. Where's Wall Street money going? It's going into the Schumer Democrats, the Pelosi Democrats, and it's going into the neoconservative Republicans. Now, what's interesting is you have some of these conservatives like Nunes and Getz and Jordan from Ohio and a few others who are beginning to question their beliefs, what they think. You know, Nunes and others made the fundamental mistake of saying Russiagate is not about Trump's collusion with Russia, but about Hillary Clinton's collusion with Russia. That's wrong. That undercuts, as we were saying before the program, you were saying to me, that undercuts Trump's attempt to form a relationship with Russia. Because the country that Hillary colluded with was Great Britain, was MI6, was the GCHQ. That's the collusion. And it's the
right.
British policy to pit the East against the West. This is classic British imperial geopolitics. And this is something that people like Joel Skousen don't understand because they believe that geopolitics is the natural condition of man. In other words, the world is a zero-sum game. We're all Darwinian. We live in a Darwinian jungle of each against all. That's the view of geopolitics. What we're seeing is an attempt to create a different concept of man. Man is an image, as in the image and likeness of God, who can work with all people for the benefit of the other.
Yeah,
isn't
in fact, you're seeing a transformation
about?
Of the nature of modern man to become a kind of a, I call a cosmic man. In other words, a cosmic man where you can have multiple independent nations, you can move forward to conjoint goals, you can make it a world where the danger of missile attack is over for everybody, you can make it a world where we can stabilize the biosphere so we don't become an extinction level event to turn the world into a dead cinder around a yellow dwarf star. And people see this. If you actually have intelligence like LaRouche in your organization, they see this, that we make the right decisions and we recreate a future that's positive for everybody. Right?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. And it's that simple. Send me some other articles, we'll post up. Arlie, I want you to kind of summarize. I really think that the LaRouche Foundation has a vision that it is going to get a better play with this president. Tell us where this is going and the next couple of years before the 2020 elections, because he's announced his candidacy. He's announced he's going to have a leader. I honestly think now that Gary Cohn's been given his walking papers with a comment by Trump to say, hey, I know you're a globalist, but go make billions and maybe you can come back. I get a kick out of the humor of Trump. He's a wildcat, man. He makes me laugh.
Make sure you post the article I just sent you, which is on the Cohn resignation. Here's one of the things that I was told.
It's already up, by the way, believe it or not. That's already up.
Okay. Well, what this does is it frees Trump to move ahead with Glass-Steagall and with a different infrastructure bill. Now, on the Glass-Steagall thing, I just got, this is hot off the presses, Elizabeth Warren, who generally is not a reliable person, but on one thing she's pretty good. She's one of the few people in the Senate who understands the Glass-Steagall issue. So she has just introduced an amendment. And by the way, one of the other co-sponsors of this amendment, who's terrible on everything except this, is John McCain. And I know the reason McCain supports Glass-Steagall is because he was involved in a real scam pulled off by Charles Keating of Lincoln Savings back in the 1980s that cost thousands of Arizonans their life savings. And so McCain, despite his general craziness on strategic matters, has been helpful in trying to push through Glass-Steagall. Maybe it's not the best person to be speaking for it because he's so crazy. But anyway, McCain, Maria Cantwell, and Angus King of Maine have introduced an amendment into the bill in the Senate now, the Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act. Now, this was a Gary Cohn bill. And what it does under the guise of helping the smaller banks, it actually provides relief to the big banks from the few elements of Dodd-Frank that restricted them. That is, Dodd-Frank on the whole was a phony reform bill pushed through by Obama, Barney Frank, Chris Dodd, with support from a bunch of Republicans. And what Dodd-Frank did was give loopholes like crazy to the big banks on derivatives trading and things like that. There were just a couple of aspects, including limitations on proprietary trading and other things. Without going into the details, it was a terrible bill. And it put enormous penalties on regional banks. So Trump understands this problem of the local banks and has met with them several times. So what did Cohn do? Cohn said, in order to help the local banks, the small banks, we need these larger regulatory reform measures, which would have knocked out the only thing, the only limits placed on the too-big-to-fail banks by Dodd-Frank. So what Warren, Cantwell, McCain, and King have done is introduce as an amendment to this crappy bill something called the 21st Century Glass-Steagall Act. And this is really important because what it means is that this is one of the things that I was told Trump is open to, and especially with Cohn gone. Now, the reason this is so important is that the quantitative easing policy of the last 7 years that protected the banks, or the last 10 years protected the banks after the crash of 2008, that quantitative easing has built up the world's largest bond debt bubble, private debt bubble, financial debt bubble, and this whole thing is going to collapse at some point.
Well, that's what Greenspan's saying. He's saying it could happen this year.
And unless we get Glass-Steagall, when it collapses again, you know what's going to happen? The government is going to bail out the big banks and the
steal all your money out of your accounts. It's going to steal.
Plus,
it's going to decapitate with a blade below your chin. How's that? Plus, a haircut with a blade below your chin.
Plus, those of your listeners who are convinced that the stock market appreciation is real and put their savings into the stock market will lose everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's another bubble, right?
So we've got to get Glass-Steagall. Now, this is an absolutely crucial issue because Trump also understands now that the reason Wall Street doesn't want Glass-Steagall is that it will weaken them, which means it will prevent them from buying the Congress to do things like sanctions on Russia, to impeach Trump, and things of that sort. So we've got to convince Trump that the American people want him to go with this 2016 campaign. You know, here's the other point that's really important. In 2016, Trump and Paul Manafort, who was the campaign manager during the Republican convention, intervened in 2 points at the convention platform hearings. One, some Republicans were trying to put into the platform support for lethal weapons for the Ukrainian government. And Manafort and Trump stopped that. And now Mueller's investigating that, saying, was Manafort doing that to pay off Putin? No, he was doing it because the United States was arming a neo-Nazi coup, and that's something that the United States shouldn't do. Secondly, Trump and Manafort pushed through a Glass-Steagall resolution in the Republican platform, and this was over the objections of Paul Ryan. So now we've got an opportunity for the Republican Party to get back to this more traditional conservative growth perspective based on physical economic policy as opposed to speculative policy. And that's why Cohn leaving opens the door for Trump to do a full economic reset. And this is crucial because on the strategic matters, he never gave in, he never sold out his intention to work with Putin and China. In spite of everything, he's been firm on that. And we're seeing the benefits now with the North Korea-South Korea talks. So I think we're on the edge of a potential transformation in the United States. And I'm sure, Bill, you followed the election results in Italy. Same thing as in Germany. The major parties got smashed.
Well, I don't know how Angela Merkel held on, but I'm sure she's going to make compromises. She's hanging by one or two fingernails, isn't she? In Germany.
Well, she's hanging on because the alternatives in Germany are terrible. The alternative for Deutschland is primarily an anti-immigration party that just had to throw out a couple of its leading members because they made these horrible comments about the Turkish population in Germany. You know, Germany has a Turkish population that goes back hundreds of years. They're Germans. And the AfD is saying, throw them out. And one of them called them camel jockeys. So even the AfD had to throw a couple of their people out for these comments. So the problem is that Germany is so used to being subservient to NATO and the U.S. and the British that you don't have a single political party that represents what Trump represents. In Italy, you have the Lega Nord. I have friends who are part of the Northern League, which used to be a separatist party. Now they're basically saying they want to represent the whole country and pull it out of the EU, out of the euro. So you have insurgency sweeping Europe right now. Merkel held on because if Germany went into chaos, all of Europe would be gone. But you know, the environmentalists are trying to turn Germany into a totally chaotic place by banning diesel engines. You know, the diesel engines, which are made in Stuttgart, are at the core of the German economy. It's not that that's the only car they make, but they started diesel engines as part of environmentalism, and now they're being told to get rid of them.
That's crazy. It's also, by the way, they built diesel because they didn't have access to oil, so they converted oil into diesel fuel. I mean, coal into diesel fuel. So they had access to lots of coal in Germany, but not oil. And
it's the same grouping that got Germany out of nuclear energy, which is going to be catastrophic because Germany will have energy shortages, especially if the anti-Russian sentiment cuts off the Nord Stream pipeline.
Yeah.
So when you look at the world from the top and you look down, you see this opportunity. If you look at it from the standpoint of geopolitics, the only thing you see is we're going to have to go to war. And that war could be nuclear. And we've got to get out of the era of geopolitics.
Yeah, absolutely. The geopolitics basically is, like Joel Skousen wrongly says, if we're not in control of it, it's a juggernaut heading toward disaster. Maybe prep yourself to be away from a nuclear reactor or a strike zone of a military facility or a big city and try to save yourself. Right? That's his approach.
Yeah. And geopolitics is based on Darwinianism.
Uh-oh. I don't think it's a random event. Man, as Lyndon says, controls energy flux density, and we have a choice for what future we choose. It's in the Bible. It's in the Judeo-Christian ethics that founded America and the West, and we need to apply it with common sense and decency so we can all live in a safe world. Thank you, Harley. Amazing program. Back next week. Thank you for a great program, and we'll see you again on Monday.